For those of you who don't know, my name is Matt, and I am an intern here for this academic school year, and I'm super excited to be here. And luckily today, for me, I don't know about for you, but luckily for me, I get to give a sermon today. And I spent, 2 years studying all this stuff, and when you get that one moment every 6 months to actually use it, you get really excited. So thank you for putting up with me today as we listen to the sermon. Today we're going to be looking at the book of Luke, the third gospel, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And before we read this scripture, I just want to point out something unique about this scripture. This scripture is a parable of Jesus, and it's unique because it's very straightforward. Most of Jesus's parables are kind of cryptic, some would say, or even in his conversations. For example, John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, Jesus says, "You must be born of water and spirit." And Nicodemus is like, "What? Like, that's pretty crazy." But here in this story, Jesus really, truly is saying what he means. So let's read that now. This is, once again, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give tenth of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, God. Thank you for the many stories we find in the Bible. The stories sometimes are confusing, sometimes are straightforward, God, but we thank you that we know that your word does not return void, Lord. And we just pray over these next couple minutes that you let your spirit touch down on the hearts of the individuals in here, Lord, and that we can encounter you in new and fresh ways. Amen. So in this passage, it's pretty clear. Jesus is saying to live a life of humility. There's two characters in the passage. There's a tax collector and there's a Pharisee. Well, the tax collector comes in and he's very humble, mild-mannered, and so much so that his head cannot even be lifted to heaven, while the Pharisee comes in boastful, if not almost obnoxious. And Jesus says, the man who was humble, the tax collector, is the one who went home justified. And I think today it would be easy for me to sit up here and just be like, be humble, be humble. But the real question is what is authentic humility? What does it mean to be authentically humble? And today, that's a hard question. I can think of many examples of sporting events where after the game, someone goes up there and he says, oh, he or she's like, oh, my team effort, we all did this, it was all great, blah, blah, blah. And then on the field or on the court, whenever they do something good, they have an egregiously selfish celebration. And so I always ask myself, how can we really tell when we're being humble or not? And I think the interesting thing about this text is, although it is straightforward, if we really dive into the life of the tax collector, if we dive into this story, we see that there's three lessons we can learn from the tax collector on how to live an authentically humble life. And those three lessons are what we're going to talk about today. The first lesson we can learn from the tax collector is that we must take a position that acknowledges God's superiority. As I said, the tax collector walks in, and he's so down that he can't even lift his eyes to heaven. He can't even lift his eyes to God. He's literally taking a physical position of humility, to whereas the Pharisee is not. So for us today, what does that mean if we're trying to live authentically humble? Well, what it means is that we have to remember that God is superior to us. The tax collector remembered that. He didn't walk in thinking, God, you need me. He walked and said, God, I need you. And for us today, as we try and live humble lives and live in humility, we have to remember that we are not God. I am not God. But isn't that sometimes hard? It's really hard to remember that. especially when we're all so busy. There's many times where I'll talk to God like he's my neighbor, which is great. And intimacy with God and these conversations with God is awesome, and we definitely want to have those. But I forget that he isn't my neighbor. He's my Lord and Savior. He is my God. He is the Alpha, the Omega. And the tax collector walked in, and for all we know, this man could have been very wealthy. And he walked in, and he didn't worry about any of that. Because he knew that no matter what he had done, or what he has, materially or even spiritually, it's all filthy rags to God. Because God is God, and he is fully righteous. So as we try to live humbly today, we have to remember that God is superior to us. We cannot take a position of superiority to God. We have to remember that the Lord is Lord of all, and we are simply his creation. The second lesson we can learn is that we need to put little stock in the labels of the world. The two characters here have two labels. They don't have names. They have the Pharisee and the tax collector. And all of us here are labeled, but I can guarantee you one thing, that none of us were born with the label on our head. If you're a teacher, you don't come out of the womb and it's like, teacher, or, you know, Pharisee, or tax collector. But yet these two people were labeled as that because the world had labeled them as such. And so for us, the world labels us many things. Some of us in here are teachers. Some of us in here are salesmen. Some of us in here are pastors. And for me, as a pastor, I experience what labels can do. Whenever I meet someone and I tell them what I do, I get the weirdest replies, honestly. Last night, I kid you not, someone kept calling me father. And I was like, okay, I'm not a priest. But that aside, the point was that because I said I'm a pastor, and because I said I go to seminary, she thought that I was some angel that didn't sin, that didn't need Jesus, that didn't need this resurrection. And that's kind of the relationship we experience when we have labels in this world. So when you tell someone you're a salesman, you tell someone you're a father, they immediately project their own images of a salesman and a father on you, whatever that might be. But the tax collector here put little stock in that. And we can see that by the fact that he came to the temple to the presence of God. Tax collectors were hated back then. In fact, I was trying to think of an analogy of some type of profession that is as hated as tax collectors were, and I couldn't think of one today. That's how much they were disgusted. That's how much their community were disgusted with them. And in fact, many times they were seen as traitors. And so the tax collector, in spite of being labeled a traitor, in spite of being labeled as a negative influence on the community, still comes to the temple and still comes to find God's presence. And what does that mean? That means that he puts little stock in what the world says. He puts little stock in what the world says. And what's more importantly, he understands that the only person that matters, the only label that matters is the label that's given to you by your Lord and by your Savior. And what's great about that is if we look in 1 Samuel 16, we have the prophet Samuel, who is given a task to anoint King David. And when he's going and he's searching for King David, and the Lord says to him, this is chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." See, the tax collector understood this. No matter what anyone said about him, no matter what the labels, even the Pharisee who said, I don't want to be like this guy, I don't want to be like the tax collector, no matter what they said, it didn't matter. It didn't matter because the God looks at the heart. And that is amazing. That is an amazing freedom to have as we live our lives. It's to know that God looks at our heart and not what we've done. And many of us have done some really good things. Many of us have done some really not good things. But yet the Lord judges the heart. He doesn't look at our outward appearance and label us. He labels us as son or as daughter. The third lesson we can learn from the tax collector is to remember the debt owed. The tax collector comes in and he asks God to have mercy on him, which means that he understands he owes God something. He owes God something, whereas the Pharisee The Pharisee tries to earn God's mercy. He says, I've done all these things. I'm not this way. I've given a tenth of all I earn. But the tax collector remembers all that he's done. He remembers that God is superior. And he remembers and he knows that only God's judgment matters. And in that situation, in that moment, he just asks for mercy because he realizes that he cannot earn this debt back. And for us today, it's a little bit of a different situation. When Jesus told this parable in Luke 18, the gospel was not completed yet. Jesus was living, therefore he had not died or been resurrected yet. For us today, as we remember our debt, it's a little different. And that our debt has been paid by Jesus. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and our belief in him has paid our debt to God, and we owe a big one. But it's important, if we're trying to live a life of humility, to not forget what we owe God. What we once owed God. That we go through our day and we remember, you know what? I used to owe God a lot, but through Jesus Christ, through my Lord and Savior, I was saved and my debt was wiped clean. And that will lead to a life of humility. What's great about this passage, the last verse, if I can find it. Here we go. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. The ultimate form of humility was Jesus Christ coming and taking the form of a man and living the world we live. I think if we all had the option, you can either go live in heaven and be God, or you can be a human. I would guess most of us would say we'd rather be in heaven right now. But yet Jesus, in all humility, came to this earth and lived a human life. So what's awesome for us is that when it says here, he who humbles himself will be exalted, that doesn't mean that we will, if we live a life of humility, will receive everything that we want. Doesn't mean that if we live a life of humility, everything's going to go our way or we're going to be lifted above everyone else. What it means for us today is that Jesus Christ has already been exalted. See, when Jesus was resurrected, he was exalted through his humility. Without his humility, there would have been no gospel. And that's our freedom today. And in that freedom, we share in his exaltation. So this verse doesn't mean that we're going to get everything we want if we live a humble life or if we follow these three principles perfectly. But what it does mean is that if we do our best to live a life of humility, we share in the exaltation of Jesus Christ. We share in his glory. And how beautiful is that? As we go through our day and we all try to achieve so much, I am so busy and everyone in here is so busy. We have so much to do. But guess what? We are exalted through Christ because of his humility. So in conclusion, this passage is very straightforward. But when we look at it deeper, we see that in order to live a humble life, we have to remember that God is superior to us. We have to remember that we once owed God a lot. And we have to remember that the labels of the world simply do not matter. They simply do not matter. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your Son. Thank you for your righteous nature, your holy name. God, in just these next 30 seconds, I ask that your Spirit lay down on us and let us feel your majesty right now, Lord. Let us feel how great thou art. Lord, we find you in the silence. We find your power in our lives. And we pray as a community, amongst all the diversity in this room, diversity of hobbies, of goals, of everything, Lord, that you help us live a life of humility, so that on that glorious day when Christ returns, we shall be exalted with him. In the holy, beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.